8, and you can leave your Bible open to 1 John because we're going to cover several verses in it, and we can it'll be quicker to flip over there. And any of the other verses that I might use, you can just jot down and try to pack my sermons full of verses, and that way it's not just me saying it. Obviously, it's the Word of the Lord saying it, and so forth. But today we're going to preach a sermon, and the title of it is just basically Salvation. And you know what it is, and things like that. The definition of salvation is this: the deliverance from the power and effects of sin. And of course, sometimes if you talk about having salvation, you're saved from something. And of course, usually a Christian that has been saved, we're saved from going to hell, yes, but we're saved going to where He says He is, and that where I am, you may be also. And so we're saved from hell, but saved to sin. And so that's the power and effects of sin. And of course, the power and effects will have a toll on our body. Adam and Eve were created to live forever. But because of sin, you can read in the Bible times and people lived hundreds of years. Methuselah, I guess, lived the longest and so forth. But then, obviously, we're promised that 70. We're promised that 70 years and so forth. But the Bible says we can live in a way that affects our body, and we might can die sooner than that. And then, obviously, sometimes the Lord just wants people home sooner than that. But then we also have the effects of our sin on our body, and we do die. Adam and Eve, we're not created to die. But we're going to look at that this morning. So we'll start with an introduction here on that fact, sin. And it's found in 1 John 1, verse 8. 1 John 1, verse 8, it says here, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And so there's people out there today that, not very many, but I have met some, that say, "I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned." And those of us that have sinned a lot, like myself, we're like, And that's exactly what this verse is saying is, if they say, I've never sinned, they're deceiving themselves. And now we're going to see here in just a minute that we do sin, and we are a sinner because we're born that way. We're born in sin nature. And so look at now 1 John 2, one chapter over. 1 John 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. It says here, "My little children, these things write I unto you," talking about the words of the Bible, especially the words of 1 John here. "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not." So we saw in the first verse that if we say we haven't sinned, we're deceiving ourselves. Now, God tells us here in this verse to try your best not to sin. I write to you that you sin not. But then He goes on to say, praise the Lord for this part, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Says here, He is the propitiation, not a word that we use a lot. Propitiation, the definition of that is the act of gaining, obviously once you get saved, or regaining, because you still will sin after you get saved. The act of gaining or regaining favor with God, or goodwill, the appeasement is what that propitiation means. So we see here, if we do sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. He helps us to regain that relationship with God and fellowship with God. So we see, for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so we see here that Jesus died for everybody. Jesus will save anybody and all this stuff. And so some of that that's going on out there today, that there's some that will go to heaven and some that will not go, that's a true statement. But it's not God's will. God didn't create those people to go to hell. All right, He gave us all a free. He says right here, "I died for the entire world, not just a select group." All right, He died for everybody. And He can be that propitiation, and He can be that advocate for anybody. So now let's go to chapter 3. 1 John 3, and we're going to read verses 8 and through 10. So 1 John 3, 8 through 10. So we saw that if we say we have no sin, we're delusional, we're deceiving ourselves. And we have an advocate, because God knew we were going to sin. And He can be the propitiation for that. Now we're in 1 John 3, verses 8 through 10. And it says here again, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And so, of course, you've seen the commercials with the little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. And that is more true than we realized. Because every day you'll have opportunities to do what the devil wants you to do or do what God wants you to do. Every day. Many times a day. And so it says right there, he that committed the sin of the devil. In other words, you listen to the red one. You listen to the one with the pitchfork. You listen to the one with the little horns. And so when you commit a sin of the devil sinned from the beginning. So he's the one that sinned in heaven, got kicked out of heaven from the beginning. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. So obviously we know the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Genesis, the Bible says, let us make man in our own image. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All the Trinity was there. Okay, but because the devil sinned and got kicked out of heaven, God the Son, part of the Godhead, the Trinity, was manifested. He's got to go be born of a virgin. He's got to live 33 and a half years on this earth, die on the cross, pay for the sins, that advocate, that propitiation, raised from the grave, and then come back to heaven. That was why he was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he came down and said, okay, the devil's going to try his best to keep everybody sinning, keep everybody from getting saved and coming to heaven, and try to ruin their life. And so I've got to go. He was manifested and came down here to defeat the devil. Verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for he is the seed remaineth in him and cannot sin because he is born of God. And of course, this was Jesus. He came down and he was sinless. And of course, if we allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and things like that, and choose what God says instead of what the devil says, we can keep from sinning. But in verse 10 it says here, in this, little children of God, are manifested and are the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So we see here, if we have Jesus, we're a child of God. If we don't have Jesus, we're not a child of God. And so that's what that's talking about. Now go to chapter 5. 1 John 5, we're going to read verse 1. So chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, whosoever believeth. So we saw up in chapter 1, if you think you're not a sinner, you're deceiving yourself. You have sinned, but there was an advocate. There's a propitiation. He was made manifest, came down here to die for us and defeat the devil. Now we're in chapter 5. Whosoever believeth. So if you believe all that, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begotteth love, or loveth him also is begotten of him. And skip down to verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written. So obviously he said this statement before, up in the beginning. I'm writing you this to let you know that you will sin. But if you have sinned, we've got an advocate. We've got a way out. We've got a way possible to get you to heaven and things like that. Get that taken care of. Now in verse 13 it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And here it is. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God did all that. Created man and woman. The devil came down, deceived them, caused sin. Then everybody that was born from that after was born a sinner. And there was a problem. And so from the beginning, God said, all right, my Son's going to come down, be made manifest, live and die on the cross, pay for all your sins, come back to heaven. And I wrote all that to you so you can know. If you'll accept Him, you have eternal life. So we see here in these first five chapters, or I guess 1 John only has five chapters. There's 105 verses. And in those 105 verses, the word truth and the word know, K-N-O-W, you can know it, are found 36 times. And so he wanted us, these things I'm writing unto you. Why? Because I want you to know something. Those of you that, you know, back before texting and emailing, you used to write a love letter to your sweetie. If you were in the military and she was back home, you wrote her. And if you were in college and, you know, you wrote her and so forth. And some of you may even went further than that, put a flower with it. Some of you may have put a little bit of on there, made it smell and things like that. Why? Because you wanted them to know. I wrote you this letter because I want you to know how I feel. That's what God's saying in 1 John. He's like, I wrote you a love letter. Why? These things I wrote. Why? Because I want you to know that you have salvation. And so we're going to talk about four things this morning about salvation. And we're going to jump right into it. Roman number one, everyone needs salvation. Everyone. So a lot of us in here today, we already got it. And so we can listen today saying, that's right. And I remember when I got it. I can say, that's right. I got it when I was 10. Some of you could say, that's right. I got it when I was 15. And we can just keep on going. But everyone needs salvation. That's why Jesus was made manifest. Again, He didn't come down here to be made manifest for a certain group of people. That verse said He died for the entire world. So again, I'm sorry for those people that go around teaching that, but that's wrong. There's not select groups that can be saved. Everybody can be saved. So we see everyone needs salvation. Why? Because everyone's a sinner. Because everyone's a sinner. Now, this is where you can start writing the verses down. I'll just read them to you. We won't flip back and forth. But I'm going to show you that the Bible says everybody's a sinner. Well, not my aunt, man. She was an angel. She was so sweet. No. Ain't so-and-so that's an angel, angelic, is still a sinner. The Bible says, Romans 3:10, as it is written. Kind of like 1 John. These things I've written unto you. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's Bible. There's nobody that can say, I'm perfect. I'm righteous. I'm just like Jesus. Or I'm just like God. I can go to heaven that way. Wrong answer. Why? Because the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. A couple other verses. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. Now, I'll give you this. There's some people that have sinned a lot. And there's some people that have sinned a little bit. But all of us have sinned. We all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Wherefore? This is why we know the Bible to be true. Wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all that have sinned. So, of course, I told you this already. Adam was created perfect. He was created to live forever. But, of course, we know the devil that sinned from the beginning came down there and beguiled Eve and him. And they ate of the fruit. That's how sin got there. And Ancestry.com, they can't take you back to Adam. Computers aren't that strong, okay? But the Bible does. All the way back to Adam and Eve. And so we were born sinners. You don't have to teach a kid how to sin. They're born that way. So why does everybody need salvation? Number one, because everybody's a sinner. Number two, because everybody was born a sinner. David. Now we know he did sin after he was a man after God's own heart. And he had a great relationship with God. God helped him kill that lion and the bear and then Goliath and defeat all those enemies and things like that. He had a great relationship. He goofed. He needed that advocate again, and that advocate came back and forgave him for that sin and so forth. But he was born that way. And David says in Psalm 51:5, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So he knew his mom was a sinner, his dad was a sinner, he was conceived, and he was born a sinner. So sometimes inside all of us, we have that pulls us in the wrong direction. So we understand, because we were born that way. Every baby is born in sin nature. I believe there's two babies back there. Is Landon here today? All right, there's two babies back there. All right, they're sweet, they're cute, they're adorable. Sometimes. So, but they're perfect little angels, but they're little perfect sinners too. All right, and you just wait. They can't talk yet, but they'll learn this word, mine, real soon. Especially in that nursery back there. I think that's the most used word in the nursery. Mine! All right? And once you've got your toy and you see somebody else, that wants to be mine too. All right? They didn't get taught that way at home. All right? But they're just born that way. And some of them, I thought this when I was a kid, I thought my name was No. That was what I was told more than Robbie, was No. 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 I just thought it was No. Why? Because I was always doing something. I was always sinning. I was born that way. Psalm 58:3 says this, The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. The Bible says babies lie, even though they can't talk. And again, I'm sure these moms have found that out. Wah, 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 and they get picked up. Whoop. There wasn't anything wrong. They were lying. You would have thought their some appendage had been ripped off. All right, but you pick them up, they stop crying. Why? They were lying. They can't even say lie. They can't spell lie, but they can lie. There was nothing wrong with them. And again, I remember this. You can tell. I mean, that's just a want to be picked up cry. Oh, something did happen. That's a painful cry. All right, they did fall off the top bunk or something, or their brother pushed them. But anyway, we see here. You know, you ask a kid, a little toddler. You know, you come in there and you catch him, puts the hands behind the back. Did you get a cookie before supper? No, sir. With chocolate all over their mouth. They just know how. Right, Ty? I didn't eat a cookie. I promise. All right. Anyway, they just know. 1 John 1:8-9. We've already read it. It says here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth not in us. But, verse 9, we didn't read this a while ago. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That advocate, that propitiation is right there. Now, of course, I'm going to paragraph here, but there's a chapter in the Bible that talks about that. Well, you know, should we just go ahead and sin because we do have that advocate? The Bible says, God forbid. He's not saying I'm giving you an advocate so you can just go live it up and sin, and just say, okay, my bad. There's some religions out there that teach that. Go live like you want to and then come and say this and say that. You're fine. That's not what this says. All right? But we do have that propitiation, and He can forgive us. So not everyone has committed the same sin, but we've all committed sin. Because, number one, we saw everybody needs a Savior or needs salvation because they were a sinner, because they were born sin. And number three, because everyone has sinned. Okay? There's some people in here today can say, I've never been drunk. There's some in here maybe can say, I've never even tasted alcohol. I've never been high. I've never even tasted or took or smoked. Da 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 da. But there's some other sin. All right? We can say, I've never smoked, or I've never looked at bad pictures, or I've never this, or I've never that. But we all have sinned. And in our mind, we think, little sin, big sin. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. I can't understand that. I can't understand stealing the cookie before supper, even though your mom told you not to, and murder. You know, that's just a little bitty baby sin. I mean, my bad, Mom. Chill. Right? But murder, oh yeah, they deserve it. No, sin is sin in God's eyes. We don't sin because we are, we don't sin and become a sinner. We sin because we are a sinner. Let me say that again. We don't sin because we're a sinner. We sin because we are a sinner. It's kind of like this. A dog doesn't become a dog because he barks. He barks because he's a dog. Right? Now, all of them bark. Every one of them. They all bark. And you say, well, I mean, I've seen a dog that had his barking box removed. Okay? But he was still barking. You couldn't hear it. But he was... Why? Because he's a dog. All right? Even though you made it impossible for him to do it, he's still trying. Why? Because he's a dog. Yesterday, we knocked on a door, and I mean, it was like, I think 7 dogs, I mean, come flying around the back of the house. And all of them were fine. You know, they were sniffing and wagging and all that stuff except one. All right? I just made sure that Brother Harris was in between me and that one, and I was safe. All right? But anyway, I couldn't even hear the guy at the door because they were all, they just bark. Why? Because they're dogs. Some bark loud. Some have deep barks. Some have... You know, high pitch ankle biters. All right, some bark a lot. Some bark just a little bit. That's the ones you need to watch out for. All right, the ones that are all bark, no bite, that's a for real statement, okay? But the ones that don't bark much, that's the one you got to watch out for. But they all are going to bark because they're a dog. Even if you got one of those little, you know, zzz, zzz on the outside, bro, they're going to do it. Why? That's just what they do. So not all men are they sin the same. Not all dogs bark the same. But all of them bark and all of us sin. One sin or 1,000 sins will send us to hell. Just one or 1,000. So it says here, one drop of, I think it's potassium cyanide. I mean, one drop will kill you. Or a whole bottle. You're still dead. So we see here why everyone needs salvation. Number two, not only does everyone need salvation, number two is this, everyone can have salvation. Everyone. And I've had, just like I've had people tell me, I'm not a sinner, so I'll be okay. I've had people tell me this, I've sinned too much. There's no way God can forgive me. And according to this right here, this Bible, I was like, okay, inhale. I said, exhale. You're fine. God can save you. Because if you were too far from saving, God says He'd turn you over to reprobate mind for the destruction of the flesh, take you out. Okay? So if you're still breathing, you can have salvation. So not only does everyone need salvation, everyone can have salvation. Here we go. I've been on those religions out there that say some are saved and some are created for hell. I'm going to get them again. Sorry. John 3:16. For God so loved a few people. For God so loved a select group. No. Just like in the first John, it says entire world is who Jesus died for. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Here it is. Whosoever. I don't see how they get rid of that. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody can have salvation. Because everybody needs it, everybody can have it. Second verse, Romans 10:13. For whosoever, there it is again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be, hope so, think so, or keep all the law, but it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Everybody can have it. Everybody can have salvation. Here's another one. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack. So in other words, He didn't forget about a certain group of people. He's not slack. He's on top of it. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, here it is, that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So again, I don't know what these religions that think that there's just certain people that can go to heaven do with these verses. Whosoever means whosoever. All means all. Anybody can have salvation. Here's one more, 1 John 2:1-2. We read it a while ago. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But He is our propitiation for our sins, and not our or for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we see here Jesus was our substitute. He died in our place. He took our place on the cross. He became sin for us. That's what's known in the Bible as the substitutionary death. Kind of a long word there. But substitutionary basically is a long word meaning taking my place. I deserve to die on the cross back then. All right, but Jesus said, nope, I'll do it for you. I'll die for you. He took my place. Then, not only in that substitutionary death where He took my place, He died for me, but it also teaches the doctrine of imputation. Imputation, basically where the Bible says that He took the sins of the entire world. Not just, again, not just a group of people, but the entire world, and put them on Jesus. And then if you accept Him and get that salvation, He takes Jesus' righteousness, that advocate, that propitiation, and He puts it on us. So when God sees us, He sees a perfect person. I'll give you the verses where these truths come from. Isaiah 53:6 says this, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And so, again, some people like, you know, I see how Jesus can forgive me for my past sins and maybe even my present sins, but I can't see how Jesus can forgive me for my future sins. And the preacher that they said that to said, when Jesus died on the cross, all sins were future sins. Oh yeah. That makes sense. So He laid on His iniquity all of us all on Him. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And of course, if you study that, that's why God could not look at His Son. God can't look at sin. So the earth turned dark that day for those several hours while Jesus was on the cross. So Jesus died for everyone's past, present, and future sins. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Revelation 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So because of our sins, we deserve death, but Jesus was that substitutionary death for us. So no one will ever be able to say that Jesus didn't die for my sins, because He died for everybody's sins. So nobody can say, I haven't sinned. Nobody can say, I've sinned too much. And nobody can say, well, Jesus didn't die for my sins. No, the Bible says He died for everybody's sins. Hebrews 2:9 says this, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He may, or He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And He tasted it for everybody. He didn't like sin, but He allowed that sin to be put on His body. So number one, we saw everyone needs salvation. Number two, everyone can have salvation. And here's number three. Everyone gets it the same way. Everyone gets it the same way. So not only does everybody need salvation and everybody can have salvation, but everybody has to get it the same way. Some people have said, well, okay, I want salvation. I don't want to go to hell, but this is how I'm going to get it. And the Bible says it's not of works, which we wish should boast, because that's what we would do. Well, this is how I got it. Well, this is how I got it. Well, this is when I'm going to get it. This is how I'm going to. We would just argue. But the Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. Here it is. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So again, shame on religions that say that there's another way, because the Bible says there's only one way. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. He's that way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes except by Him. Acts 4:12, Neither is there any other salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby we must be saved. So three verses right there says He's the way. There's no other way. 1 John 5:1, we read it a while ago. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that's how they get saved. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not shall not see life. I mean, it's that simple. There's only one way. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, again, I tried to calculate real quick a while ago, counting on all the people that drove here. There are probably 47 groups in here this morning that came to Lighthouse Baptist Church. And maybe a few of us, probably, but if you count the driveways, none of us came the same way. We all came out of different driveways. So there was 47 different ways to come here this morning. All right? And we all got to Lighthouse Baptist. And even though I think this is the greatest place on earth, this is not where we're going when we die. All right? So, you know, to get to Lighthouse, okay, I'll give you that. There's 47 different ways. And there's, you know, I wish there was 100 different ways this morning. All right? But we see that there's, you know, we all came different routes and we all got here. But there's only one problem with this. We're not going there. We're going to either heaven or hell. And there's only one way to heaven. Only one, not 47 different ways. So then trust Jesus and Him alone. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus church membership. Jesus plus keeping the law. Jesus plus turning over a new leaf. Jesus plus whatever is out there today. There's only one way to heaven. And that's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Him alone. So we saw salvation. Everyone needs it. Salvation, everyone can have it. Salvation, everybody has to get it the same way. And number four, and finally, everyone can know that they have salvation. Everyone can know it. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, did not make it hard. There's some people in here that you're good at math, but then there's some in here that's not good at math. All right? And so you can come up with the answer because you know how to do those formulas and those solutions and, you know, add and before the parentheses you do this and this and after the parentheses you do this and this. And I, oh, that's how I got the answer. And everybody's, some of us looking at like, yeah, I got negative 12. All right? You know, we don't know. Okay, but God didn't do that with salvation. Same way with the English language. You know, I don't know the English language. I know country. I know redneck. All right. I know how to speak those, but there's some rules in the English language. I'm like, what? and then there's these exceptionals, exceptions to the rules. I before E, except after C. Oh, my goodness. All right. What in the world? So they made it complicated. And science. Good night. You can blow up the computer or the science lab. Well, I didn't mean to. Well, you got to know how to mix that stuff and things like that. So, again, all the things that are hard to learn, God didn't make that with salvation. He didn't say, okay, you got to do this and this and this, and if you do it on Thursday, you've got to start all over again. What? He didn't make it complicated. He said, you can know it. It's just as easy as 1 + 1. Okay, we all know that's 3. All right? He made it very simple. So, doubts we might face, okay? But, you know, we some of us that are saved right now, you say, I don't feel saved. If you are saved, oops, sorry about that. This right here tells you you are, no matter how you feel. All right? There was a couple people last couple weeks been sick. All right, with COVID. They probably didn't feel saved. And you get a stomach bug, and you got to hurry up to the restroom, you're probably not feeling saved. You know, you hear that relative's coming to visit that you don't like, you probably don't feel saved. And I can just keep on going. All right, but it doesn't matter if we feel saved or not. We are saved. God said it. And you've heard that statement. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And that's fine. But God said it. That settles it. Right? Whether we believe it or not. Now, if we believe it, it'll be beneficial to us. But God says it. And so we have to have that childlike faith. We can know that we have salvation. I think I dropped my paper that I'm supposed to be at. So let me get it here real quick. I was going to try to do it by memory. But that's not a good thing. When I picked up the Bible, there we go. All right. So everyone can know that they have salvation. When we read that a while ago in 1 John 5:13, these things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So we can have those doubts. I don't feel saved, but we're saved whether we feel like it or not if we've done what the Bible says. So don't trust your feelings. Trust God's word. Your feelings will change. God's word will not change. So I was 10 years old when I was saved. But I don't remember the exact time. And I don't remember the exact date. I do remember it was at Calvary Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia on a Sunday. But I don't remember the time. I don't remember the exact date. And the devil used to mess with me with that. So, you know, you're probably not saved because you can't remember that. But it's not based on my memory. Praise God, because you saw I couldn't even finish the sermon without finding page 8. All right, I got to have some help in my memory. So Jesus didn't say, okay, if you'll call upon me and never forget one little itty-bitty ounce of it, you can be saved. It's not your memory that keeps you saved. It's not your memory that saves you. It's for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. You heard that song. It was on a Monday, and everybody that got saved on Monday stood up. And, I could remember that one because it was Sunday. I was like, whew. But just because I could remember the day, that's not what saved me, and that's not what keeps me saved. God said if I called upon Him, didn't matter how I feel, It don't matter what I can remember. He saved me, and He'll never unsave me. So it was it's not the time nor the date, nor even the day, but it's what the Word of God says that saves us. So someone has said, we already said that, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. So what we have to have is what the Bible calls childlike faith. Childlike faith. So more than how you feel, more than what you can remember, you just have to have childlike faith. God says, I love you, I'll save you if you ask me. Okay. You can talk a kid into pretty much anything. Okay, if you give me that brownie, I got some broccoli over here that's really, really good. Good luck with that one. All right, 'cause even a kid knows. Not trading. All right. But we have to have childlike faith. Matthew 18:3 says this, and said, verily I unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child or a little children, ye shall not enter into my kingdom of heaven. A lot of people, they just like, I just can't understand it. I don't know how you get that. I don't know how you wrap your brain around that. Well, the Bible says, you're a sinner. Jesus died for your sin. If you'll ask Him to save you, He'll save you. That's it. Hey, we all get saved the same way. Everybody can have it. Everybody needs it. Everybody can have it. And there's only one way to get it. But you can know it. But you got to come and believe what God says. Luke 18:17 says this, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, in no wise enter therein. And again, they talk about statistics, and they say, you know, it's harder to lead someone to Christ the older they get, because they got it all figured out up here. And you tell them something that's not up here, and they're like, whoa. But a kid, there's not a lot up here yet. And they're just sponges. Tell me something. And that's what God's saying. So a child doesn't understand all the particulars of what you're telling them. They just believe you because you're telling them. We're going to have this for supper. Oh, that's my favorite. They probably don't understand what to set the stove on. Okay, how long to cook it. How long to let it set and rest and all this kind of stuff. They just know they're fixing to have their favorite meal. They don't get the particulars. That's what God's saying. Whether you ever figure out the particulars, just believe me when I say I'll save you, and I will. And you'll get to spend eternity in heaven. But there's a lot of people out there that are trying to figure out, what do I set the stove on? How long do I let... Stop! Tell your friends, those of you that are saved, you know this. Tell them to quit trying to figure it out. Hey, you're going to figure it out all the way to hell. But just be like a child and say, I don't understand that whole book. I don't either. And I'm the pastor. But His ways are higher than mine. He's smarter than me. But the key is, what are you doing with the parts you do understand? Anybody can understand. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Lord, please save me. Easier than a fifth grader can do it. Amen? So, see here. The child doesn't understand all the particulars. They just believe because you're telling them. So that's what God wants us to do. Don't try to figure it all out. Just believe me. Put your faith in me. So we may not understand all the particulars of what God's saying. He just wants us to believe, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see here today, salvation. Everybody needs it. Salvation. Everybody can have it. Salvation. Everybody gets it the same way. And salvation. You can know that you have it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for salvation. Lord, it's obviously wonderful on our part. Lord, but you had to suffer immensely and take all those sins and have them placed on your body. And all the beatings and the nailing to the cross and all the suffering you had to do. But you conquered death, hell, and the grave. You came back out. And now you're in heaven sitting on the right hand of the Father. And those of us that have salvation, you're preparing a mansion for us. Lord, if there's somebody here today that does not have that salvation, Lord, help them to realize how easy. It's just like a child. All you got to do, admit you're a sinner. Confess that sin to Jesus. Ask Him to save you, and He will. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the rest of the day. Help everything to go smooth. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation. you'd like to come pray and thank God for salvation, the altar is open. Thank Him for it. Or you can thank Him right there. If somebody that's not saved, I'll be glad to show you in the Bible how you can be saved. Right there.